in our Bible study this morning over in the parish house, Marilyn asked me a question. Which basically was, how do you experience the love of God? And I realized and said, gratitude. That's the primary response of my heart to the love of God. I've lived a life which in some ways has been very privileged, to be in the United States, to have a loving family and a middle class upbringing, never really wanting for anything. I've also experienced tragedy and great error on my part that I've suffered the consequences from. And through all of this, have known, although there were times clearly when I doubted it, but fundamentally known that I was loved by God and sustained by Him. And I don't know what response to have to that extraordinary gift other than gratitude. The epistle that we heard read today from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Christ also suffered when He died for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners, that He might bring us safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit. So He went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. An extraordinary thing that is said here, that when Christ was crucified, for those who were alive at His time and alive today who sin, He also went back to bring the good news to those who had died generations before the birth of Him as Jesus. Before His incarnation. What a heart God has, that even those who were lost as Noah's family was saved would still be remembered and still be brought the good news while in prison. And I believe that this also is a picture for us who are in prisons in ourselves. Prisons of our own making, sometimes prisons of the making of our society, prisons of the making of our parents or others who have horribly mistreated us. There are many kinds of prisons. I believe Jesus goes into every one of them and shares that same gospel, that same good news, that same gift of freedom and redemption. And love of God. And then He offers us this enormous privilege of being Him to each other and to the world, of being His body, of using His gifts through us, that others might know Him. We get to be a part of this visiting to those in prison. We get to be a part of Him going to the prison and sharing that good news, that others might also be brought into this loving relationship with the One who made them. In Romans 12, Paul is writing to believers in Rome, and he says this, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. that is us. We are all parts of His one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Each of us needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, sorry, I set my page down. And now I've lost it. When in doubt, open the Bible. Romans 12, verse 7. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. And I would point out that it doesn't say, be glad for all God is planning for you that are the things that you chose and really want to happen next. But rather it says, be glad for all God is planning for you. And here's maybe the truth of that expansion that I just gave you, because he says, be patient in trouble and always be prayerful. When God's children are in need, be the one to help out and get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or, if they need lodging, for the night. The extraordinariness of this letter is that Paul is reminding us of how gifted the body of Christ is, that it might be the body of Christ, that we might truly be the ones to bring the good news of God's love to those who are in prison, in physical prison, in emotional prison, in religious prison, in prisons of our own making and prisons of the devising of others. He gives us that privilege. So not only do I, and I believe probably all of you, experience enormous gratitude for the way the Lord has loved me, and count it as an extraordinary privilege to serve Him and to be His body in the world today, I also look upon you with enormous gratitude, because I see the gifting that Paul spoke of there in every single person here in this congregation, in every one. I see the variety of gifts, the variety of needs, and I know that the needs are met by the gifting in all of the others. And I also see in this the need that we each, in our gratitude, share the gift of God with others. That each of us is called, one way or another, to go into those prisons that surround us in life, not just to worship together in this room, not just to enjoy each other's presence and gifts together on this train, but rather to go out into the fields. And in the gratitude that we have, exercise the privilege of those gifts that we've been given. This began to come to me earlier this week when I went to Wheaton College to see someone and parked my car in the parking lot just as a train started to go by on the railroad tracks. And there were flatbed cars on it, and parked on those flatbed cars were combines. Combine is a mechanical harvesting machine that harvests corn or grain, separates it from the stalk, and then fills it into bags so that it can be carried to market. It's called a combine, I believe, because of the combination of things that it does in harvesting. And this train had car after car with these combines on it, and I counted them. There were 26, and they were all brand new and shiny. And I knew the purpose for those combines was to be out in the fields harvesting the crop. And I realized that this was a picture that the Lord was giving me. That we can all be shined up and sitting on a train and going really fast and believe that we're doing what God called us to do. Because we're all there together and we're all looking pretty good and we're all moving quickly on the train. But folks, we're combines. We're made to be in the fields. We're made to be sharing what it is we've been given with those who don't know it. And as I thought about this, I realized that this was a Sunday that we had set aside to pray over and anoint leaders in this church who have been called to serve in various ministries, music and prayer and children's church and youth group and fixing things when they break, setting the altar, in all of these different ways in which these leaders are present in their ministries. We want to take this Sunday to pray over them, to confirm them in the leadership role and in the ministry which God has given them. And they, in a sense, like all of us, are combines. Their purpose is harvest and service to the Lord. Our role, for those who are called to leadership, is to bring people in that they might serve in that role they've been given. It's a wonderful thing to be the leader of the children's church in this church and to have the kind of heart that Amanda does, and I'm using her just as an example here, to bless her with the privilege of serving the children of this church there. But what a high crime it would be if we simply gave her that title and brought no children for her to serve. brought no children for her to exercise that gift. And what is true of leaders in this church is also true of all of us, because all of us have gifts for service. And so I realized that part and parcel, fundamental, foundational to who we are and what we do as believers in Christ and as a local body, as a local church, foundational to that must be our invitation to others in our life to know the Lord and to become a part of His body. This local body of Christ should, by definition, grow. Not because anyone wants to be famous and have big numbers they can talk about, but simply because of the mission we've been given to share the love of God that was shared with us, to exercise the gifts from God that were given to us, so that we might be Christ, so that we might be the body of Jesus to the world. It's surely a good thing that we worship together. It is surely a good thing that we learn together. It is surely a good thing that we serve each other. But it is not enough. That's a little bit of the combines on the train and a little bit of them coming off. But ultimately, each of us needs to be in the fields, harvesting. And then we bring in the sheaves. Then we gather together. Then we worship together. Then those who we meet and who meet the Lord have the opportunity to be discipled and to grow and to be sanctified and to be conformed more to the image of Christ. That is what we should be doing here in this body. That is what leaders in this body are called out to do. But we must also serve those who are called to serve here by giving them the gift of other folks, that they might exercise the gifts they were given, that they might truly be leaders and have people to lead in a godly way. And so, said simply, for those that are called to serve in this church in the role of leader, let each of us, each and every last one of us, without exception, find a way, however it is that we can, to share the love of God that we have experienced with someone else and to invite them into this body of Christ, that we might be blessed by them and they might be blessed by us. It's a challenge. It's hard. But the Lord will be with us as we do it, with each one of us as we do it. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill each one here with the love of God. May it be so present in each of our lives that it bubbles over. That we are able by that love to invite others into it. Give us your courage, your presence, and your power that we may serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen.